Most Cochrane reviews provide knowledge on the effects of healthcare interventions. But some Cochrane methodology reviews tackle issues relevant to the methods for the evaluation of healthcare. Sally Hopewell, along with a team of reviewers from England, Scotland, Ireland, Norway, and the USA, have prepared one such review, and Sue Mallett from the Center for Statistics and Medicine in Oxford, England, spoke to her about it.
Today we're going to talk about publication bias. And Sally, what is publication bias and why is it important to authors and readers of systematic reviews?
Well, completed research is frequently left unpublished. However, if that research is left randomly unpublished, there's less information available, but that information is not necessarily biased. The problem is that there's a tendency for investigators to submit a study and of editors and journals to accept it based on their results, and this is what we call publication bias. So if trials with positive findings are more likely to be unpublished, they're more likely to be included in Cochrane reviews, and then the conclusions of that review might be threatened.
So what you're saying is that if only articles with positive findings are published, then readers are not getting a full picture of the scientific results.
Yes, that's right.
I guess that could be a real issue, especially if journals and editors and authors are only publishing articles where they get excited about positive, newsworthy results.
Yes, and in what our review aimed to do was to try and assess the extent to which publication was influenced by the significance of the trial result.
So what did you do? What was your study?
Okay, well, we assessed studies that looked at a cohort of registered trials, such as those submitted to an ethics committee. And we also looked at those studies that compared the publication of trials with positive findings with those with negative or non-significant findings. And we also looked at other factors which might influence publication, such as time to publication or sources of funding or sample size.
So the trials registered should include all the trials conducted, and you're just looking at whether these are published. So what did you find?
Right. Well, we did very comprehensive searching and we identified five studies that met our inclusion criteria. And they were in a number of different disease areas. And these showed that trials with positive findings had nearly four times the odds of being published compared to trials with non-significant or negative findings. If we think about that in real terms, what that means is that 41% of negative trials published, we would expect around 73% of positive trials to be published.
So you really did find that there was that the studies with the positive findings were more likely to be published.
Absolutely.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, and we also found that trials with positive findings also tended to be published quicker than those with negative findings. However, the size of the trial and the source of funding didn't really appear to influence whether or not a trial was published.
Mm, that's very interesting. So what are the implications of this for authors of Cochrane reviews? What do they need to do and what are the implications for the readers?
Okay, well, our findings would support the need for review authors to search for and include both published and unpublished trials. There are other sources of bias, though, which may affect reviews, and more information about these reviews can be found in the Cochrane Library. However, ultimately, we hope that prospective registration of all trials at inception will enable people to identify all relevant trials, irrespective of the results and whether they're actually published.
Fascinating stuff. Thank you very much, Sally.
Thank you.
You can read the review that Sue and Sally were discussing and the other Cochrane methodology reviews that Sally mentioned at www.cochrane.org.